All right, we welcome you on this July 19, 2020 to the Wayne County Bible Center. We are continuing our series on the salt and the light. And Jesus has called us to be salt and light. We've been studying salt. Salt represents your Christian, your personal Christian character. And the Lord uses these analogies as we're studying the words and the life of Jesus the remainder of this year and probably next year. And we'll be diverting into different areas, but we're going to stay anchored there. You know, salt was such a valuable commodity that the Roman soldiers were paid in salt. And that's the Greek word, salarium, that we get the word salary from. And that's where you get the phrase, that guy's not worth his salt. Salt was used to preserve the meat. As long as the Christians are in the culture, the society will be preserved. God's judgment will not come down and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah until Lot was taken out. God's rain and downpour would not come down and destroy the world till Noah's family was safely in the ark to be lifted above. And America and the rest of the world will not see utter annihilation until the Christians are taken out in the rapture. So we are a preservative and valuable to the culture of every culture in the world, whether they realize it or not. And so the devil wants to silence the Christians and destroy the Christians. And then thirdly, as we study the purity and the preservative and the value of the salt spoke to our character. You know, we're to have honesty, integrity, Christian, biblical morals. But when you look at the light, it's a little bit different. And so we're going to look at the analogy of the light. I'm going to give you the Greek here in a moment. Though I can't pronounce it, I went over it today, this morning, several times. But I'll give you a good southern low country twang pronunciation of a Greek word here. So not everybody's going to get that who are in church on this Sunday. Matthew chapter 5 verse 14 says, "You are the light of the world." You are the light of the world. This is from the verb to be in the Spanish ser. You are to be. Every verb finds its root in to be or not to be. So you are the light of the world. It's what you are. Verse 15, men don't light a candle, and that's not a good translation, so I'm going to give you the word in a moment, and put it under a bushel basket. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's go to the Lord. Father, as I come to you today, I confess my daily and weekly sin. That I confess out loud, and some of them, a good solid handful of them, are the same ones I've been confessing 30 years or so. So Father, I pray, as your word says, if I confess my sin, the precious, precious blood of Jesus will cleanse me of my sin. So I know that you will cleanse me and you have cleansed me. But I also pray, Father, to be filled with your Spirit and anointed by your Spirit. And I pray, sweet Jesus, to be changed by your Spirit, that my flesh would be mortified and crucified, as Paul said, those areas of carnality, and that your righteousness could grow fresh there. Prune me, Lord, as a bush. Prune out the dead so the green can grow. And Father, I pray in meekness and humility, I wash the feet of these people today. Those that are listening on this website, God bless you. All the encouragement I get through the week, God bless you. And all that come here in this building, where I can see faces and I can see their eyes and see their hearts. And Father, I feel the Spirit in their hearts absorbing the Word, and it so makes it so much easier for me. I thank you folks for being in this building today. And Father, I just pray right now for healing in this country. I pray America and the world will be healed physically from coronavirus. And I pray that America and the world will be healed spiritually from godlessness and selfishness. And that we will turn to you and repent and grab hold of a loving God. Father, I want to thank you for the God that fills my heart with his love and fills my heart with his conviction and discipline. Oh, what a wonderful Heavenly Father. You love us, you convict us, you correct us, and you do it all for our own good. We praise you, Lord Jesus, for loving us so much you don't spare the rod, and for loving us so much you never give up on us. Holy Spirit, please take over. In your name we pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 15. Neither do men light a candle. I would rather that say, neither do men light a lamp. Lamp. In the Greek, it's luchnos. L-U-C-H-N-O-S. You say, well, really, that's not hard to pronounce. Jonathan, it is in the Greek. It's like chosnos. And I mean, I can do it. I'd have to put a catfish in my mouth to say it the way they say it. So I'm going to say luchnos, L-U-C-H-N-O-S. And it means this, and everybody was familiar with it, Cleo. No electricity back in the days of Jesus. If you wanted to light something up, you had to have a candle. It can mean candle, but it doesn't here. But you had to have a lamp or you had to have a lantern. So it was a portable lamp or lantern that was filled with oil. So luchnos represents a light that has to be lit, and in this case, it is filled with oil. So I want you to understand, when it says you are the lamp of the world and lift up your lamp, you're a vessel. I want you to think of a 2,000-year-old lantern or lamp that folks would carry and they'd lift up so that they could see. You put it under, you put it on the ground under a bushel basket, and what good's that going to be? Nobody's going to see it. It's not going to impact anybody. It's not going to affect anybody. That's the church in America today. It's a lamp, it's sitting down, and it's underneath a bushel basket. Now, that's what he's saying. When you're no good, you know, you're salt, you're thrown out in the street, people walk on it. When you're no good, you're like a lamp, Liz, underneath a basket. So, you are a vessel filled with oil. So what's the oil represent? The Holy Spirit. So you've got to have the Holy Spirit in you. We'll see that in a few moments. And the Holy Spirit's what feeds the lamp. And when the Holy Spirit is filled and full, the lamp burns brighter. So that's the analogy and the metaphor that the Lord is using. So we're called to be this lamp, to be this light. Luke chapter 12. Go with me to Luke chapter 12. The lamp analogy Jesus uses throughout the Gospels. John uses it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in John 1 to describe Jesus himself as the light of the world. However, different Greek word, phos, P-H-O-S. I'm not sure we'll get into that today, but we might. Not in the notes, but Brother Leo sometimes can remember a few things. All right, Luke chapter 12, verse 35 says this. Let your loins be girded about. All right, he's calling you to war. He is calling you to be able to run and not be weary, to walk and not faint. He's talking about that long flowing robe that they wore back in those days. They pull it up and they put it in their belt. That meant your loins are girded, man. Sharon, you can walk, you can run, nothing's holding you back. And let your lamps be burning. And ye yourselves, like unto men that wait for their Lord or the bridegroom, when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open unto him immediately. This is a Jewish wedding. You know, everything we do in a wedding is based on a Jewish wedding, whether folks realize that or not. And he's saying the Christians are like the, not the best man, the groomsmen. Are like the groomsmen. You can tell, I've never done a wedding, so I don't know these terms. All right, they're like the groomsmen, okay? And in the Hebrew times, you get married, and then the groomsmen would go prepare the bridal chamber. What do? We put a bunch of stuff on somebody's car, okay? All those traditions. The groomsmen would go prepare the bridal chamber and decorate it and fix it up. So when the bridegroom at the end of the reception and the dinner, and sometimes it would go a week. But anyway, when it was time to take the bride back to the bridal chamber, he would knock on the door and the groomsmen would greet him and they would come in. So our Lord is the bridegroom. And it says this, verse 36, ye yourselves are like the groomsmen. You wait for the bridegroom, who is Jesus, when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they'll open the door immediately. Blessed are those servants whom when the Lord comes, he shall find them watching and praying and serving. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them, and they'll be part of the wedding supper of the Lamb. So what he is saying there is we are to gird ourselves, be prepared spiritually, and keep those lamps shining until he returns. So what does it mean? Salt speaks about the purity of your character. What does it mean to have your lamp shine? Go with me to John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, verse 32, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees and the scribes, the false religious leaders of their day. So I want you to understand, not all scribes and Pharisees were false and hypocrites. Some came to Jesus. So nothing's different 2,000 years later. You have people that are real, that are in leadership positions, and you have people that are false in the church or in religion. So Jesus says this in verse 32, there is another that bears witness of me, and I know the witness that he, John the Baptist, witnesses of me is true. You sent unto John the Baptist, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but I'm having this discussion with you so that you might believe what John said about me and you might be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in the light of his message. That's what he's saying. So what did John say? What was John's message? Behold, the Lamb of God's here. Repent, the kingdom of heaven's near. The Messiah is here on the face of the earth. I'm not worthy to tie the sandal of Jesus because he's the Messiah. Everything he said about Jesus was true. But what was it that made him a bright and shining lamp? So, look at what it says in verse 32. There is another that bears witness of me. Why was John a bright and shining lamp? John was a man who bore witness concerning Jesus. First point. John was a man who bore witness concerning Jesus. So, what do you have to do to make your light shine? Well, you got to bear witness about Jesus. Number one. Now, that Greek word I can pronounce, martyro. M-A-R-T-U-R-O. Martyro. That's the word that we translate into witness. It's also the word we translate into martyr. Because 2,000 years ago, for about 300 years, Cleo, if you stood up for Jesus, you died. So it's martyro. And Liz, this is what it means. It means to speak the truth. To speak the truth concerning what one has seen or heard or knows to be true. This is Greek. This is right out of Zodiates, Richard. To speak the truth concerning what one has seen or heard or knows to be true. So if you are a witness in a courtroom All you can speak about is what you saw or what you heard or what you know to be true. So I want you to understand that word marturo is personal. It's personal. It's what you know to be true. Not what Brother Leo knows to be true. It is what you know to be true. So if you're going to be a witness of any kind, you can only speak about what is personal to you. Now, that's number one. John was a man who bears marturo of me. He was a man who bears witness. Now, look at verse 33. You sent unto John, and he bore witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. He says, I don't need to receive a testimony from man, but John the Baptist was a man, and he gave testimony concerning me. Number two, he bore witness, Cleo, and then he gave testimony concerning Jesus. That's marturia, M-A-R-T-U-R-I-A, M-A-R-T-U-R-I-A. That means a declaration by a witness that bears record of a fact or facts. You can put a little after fact, put in parentheses an S. That's how I do it. So it must be right. Isn't that how people are? That's how they do it. My daddy and I, oh goodness, from the time I was 14, we have fought our whole lives. There was only one way to do things. And that was daddy's way. And Mona, I'm telling you, I can't do it daddy's way. I can't do it today daddy's way. You know, hopefully we'll be home in a few weeks. And if I'm there and if he wants me to cut the grass a certain way, you know how I'm going to cut it? A different way. I just cannot do it. Cannot do it. Don't know why I'm like that. Now, Charlie could tell me to cut it a certain way, and I do it. There are times I tell my dad, I said, Dad, I'm 60 years old. I've got a college degree from the College of Charleston. I know how to open my refrigerator door. You don't have to tell me what part of the handle to grab. I can do it, Dad. And we have gone at it for years. All right. Marturo, it is a declaration by marturia, a declaration by a witness that bears record of a fact or facts. And then secondly, it means this, speaking with the authority of one who knows. When you're bearing testimony, true testimony, you're speaking with the authority of one who knows. Jody, if we have a trial and we're going to have a DNA compared, you got to have an expert on DNA. So that's what this means. It means to have an expert that speaks testimony with the authority of one who has the credibility and one who knows. So, what does it mean to let your lamp shine? It means that you have got to be able to speak with the power and with the passion and with the authority of an individual that knows who he's talking about, that knows what he's talking about, that has a certainty and a power and a passion, and that's what's wrong with the church today. Folks don't know what they believe. They don't know why they believe it. They don't know the Constitution. They don't know what states' rights are. They don't know what federal rights are. And so nobody knows that they can stand up and speak based on credibility and knowledge and an understanding, whether it be of God, Jesus, the Bible, or the things of America. And so we have been dumbed down in religion and in the country. And so that's why we're being run roughshod over a bunch of folks that are living by deceit and debauchery. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. If you're going to be a witness for Jesus, and this is all you got to do, you don't have to know what I know. But you got to know what you know. And you got to believe it with all your heart. And you got to grow it in your heart and strengthen it in your heart. Because when it comes down to it, letting your light shine, the bottom line, it's simply taking a stand for Jesus. The salt, that's about what's going on inside of me, purity-wise. The lamp has to be seen. The lamp is what I speak, what I stand for, the witness of my life, in my behavior, in all of those things. It's the things that shine forth before men and before our culture. So look at what the scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. Here's Paul. Now, Paul made a lot of mistakes. He's writing to Timothy. He murdered Christians. Went about murdering Christians before he got saved. That was his job. He would get orders from the chief priests and go all over Asia and murder Christians. But when God saved him, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, he knew what he was. He said this, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles." He knew what he was to do. He knew what he was called to. People can ask me, "Brother Leo, what are you to do? What's your call?" I am a teacher of the Word of God to Christians. That's my primary call. That's my gift. Now, I can preach evangelism. I can share from the pulpit how to get saved. And I've seen many people get saved. But Billy Graham was called to preach to lost people. I've been called to preach to Christians. And I know it. And that doesn't sit well with the traditional church. You know, the traditional church wants you to be everything. Well, God don't call us to be everything. The biblical church is the body of Christ, where everybody's got a role. So, Paul knew what he was called to, and then he says this, "For which cause, because of my calling, I will suffer these things. I can be in prison. I can go through all I'm going through. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. I don't regret coming to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. I don't regret leaving the synagogue and starting churches. I don't regret any of this. For I know personally whom I have believed. His name is Jesus. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." I am fully persuaded, I am fully convinced that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. I am fully persuaded and I'm fully convinced that once you're saved, you will be saved until Jesus comes back and gets you. Committed unto him until that day. That's what Paul is saying there. I know who saved me and I know who's going to keep me saved. And so we stand on what we believe on. We stand on what we know to be true. Just as Paul did. So go with me to John chapter 1 and let's continue to look at what made John the Baptist a bright and shining light and what makes us one. John chapter 1, verse 6. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." Cleo, if you're going to be a bright and shining light and I'm going to be a bright and shining light, we're going to have to fill in the blank there with our name. Once you get saved, I can say this. There was a man sent from God whose name was Cleo. There was a man sent from God whose name was Leo. There was a man sent from God. There was a woman sent from God whose name was Miss Betty. "The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light." L-I-G-H-T. Different Greek word. That word is false. P-H-O-S. False is a light that cannot be kindled, nor can it be extinguished. That's straight out of Zodites. It's not in my notes, but I've read it for 30-something years, so I know the definition. False is a light that cannot be kindled and it cannot be extinguished. False is sunlight. False is the light that's created by God and it's eternal. So a man can't start it and a man can't extinguish it. So when it's talking about the light false, it's talking about the eternal light of Jesus Christ, His perfection, His righteousness, His glory, His truth. Everything that's perfect about Jesus. So the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through Cleo, that all men through Miss Betty might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. I'm not God, but I can talk to you about God. I'm not Jesus, but I can talk to you about Jesus. I'm not perfect, but I can tell you what God's Word says about righteousness. That's what it means to shine your light. It is about being, turn the page over. You say, Brother Leo, what if I don't need to turn the page over? Well, John chapter 1, verse 23, John the Baptist is asked, who are you? Are you the Christ? And he says, no, I am not the Christ. But he says this. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said, because Jesus is here on earth, the Messiah. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I am not that light, but I am a voice for that light. Now, do you see what the devil's trying to do? He's trying to silence the voice of the Christians. We're called, Jennifer, to be a voice. The devil's plan is to silence the voice. You can't pray in school. Teachers can't have a devotion with their children. That's what we're told. What else? You can't have Jesus on the public square. That's what we're told. I want you to understand something. Any school district in America can do anything they want to do as long as they'll vote it. You know, as long as our board will vote it and take a stand. You know, our problems are we have these lawyers that were born with their little tails tucked between their legs and they're scared to death to take a stand for anything. But there are law firms, especially out the South, that will come when the ACLU brings a token case against us, and that's all they are, they're token cases. And the next thing you know, we're not praying at the ball game. When I came to Wayne County, I used to pray at the ball game. I was asked at Brent's. I spoke at Brent's graduation. I prayed. I did a message out of the book of Numbers. I did the whole nine yards. This is how far we've fallen since I came to Wayne County. You know, don't you think they're pushing hard enough on us in Wayne County and Nashville and Chicago and Virginia and all these places where you people are listening? It's time for us to stand up and push back. You know, let them bring it on. Because the bottom line is, there should be no federal money coming to the state anyway for education, and we can make it without it. But the bottom line is, we need to take a stand in our states, in our counties, and in our communities that this is what we want. And if the school board says no, or they say our lawyer says no, we say replace our lawyer, or we'll vote people in that will replace that lawyer. Because I'm telling you, we've just got too many that, oh, Brother Leo, we can't. And I've spoken with these people. You know, I speak with the ones here, and I get to speak with folks in Nashville. You know, oh, Brother Leo, well, you know, if we do that, we'll have, and then that's going to cost money, and blah, 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 blah. Well, the bottom line is, so you don't stand up for what's right? Somehow, somebody got the idea that standing up for what's right, if it's not easy, we're not going to do it. Well, it's not going to be easy. And every teacher in our school system can open every day with a devotion and a word of prayer. It's a state's right issue and it's a district issue. And if you want change, all these people run around in the street screaming for change. You know how we get change in America? You vote it in. Vote representatives that believe like you believe. Well, we can't do that in Tennessee because then I'd move to another state. You know, I'd move somewhere that, you know, if you can't change them, don't burn the courthouse down. That's not the answer. This is how America was established. You vote in. Praise God for the Voting Rights Act in 1968. That's what Martin Luther King wanted. And he got that. And I back him on that. And I'm glad he got that. And for the last 30 or 40 years, they've been able to vote in a particular party that was going to do a lot of things for them. And evidently, maybe you got to vote for somebody else or you got to put up different people because it ain't working. Well, it's not working because you get lied to. And I'm off my outline. So here we go. So I am a voice. Okay, I am a voice, John chapter 1. But I want you to notice something else. Go to John chapter 3. And in John chapter 3, we see the last words we hear, basically, from this lamp, John the Baptist. And he says this. Verse 28, ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, John the Baptist, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him to spread the word that he's here. Verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. He that comes from above is above all. That's Jesus. He that is of the earth, we were born here, we're earthly. And we speak of the earth and we represent him in front of this culture, but we're not of him. We're not him. He that comes from heaven is above all. He's above every preacher. He's above every pope. He's above every vicar. He's above everybody that's got a collar on or a doctorate or anything else. He is above all. But notice verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. So how do we let our lamp shine? In the Greek, that decrease means a suppression of self, a lessening of self, and a decrease of self. He must increase, Cleo, I must decrease. I'm not here to promote a religion. That's what got me out. I'm not here to tell you the Baptists are the best or the Methodists are the best. You know, I'm not here to tell you, you come to our church, you get a Big Mac, you go to that church, you get a Whopper. Because that's what we fell into. It's all these franchises telling you this. The Methodists will tell you, hey, look, Our beef is frozen, and the Baptists will tell you we just serve it fresh. And so you fall into that, well, I don't have that agenda. I don't promote a religion. I don't promote the name on the front of the door. Well, Brother Leo, you need to be inviting people to come. Whoever needs to come, God will send them. I'm not going to go out here and knock on doors and tell you why we've got a gymnasium and you need to come here. Or, hey, everybody gets married in our church because we've got the biggest sanctuary, Brother Leo. Don't you want our church? And I had to look that guy and I said, look, I just left a church that's five times the size of this one. And you think you're impressing me? But that's how we think. That's how it's thought. Nobody trusts God. And so, you don't promote a religion, you don't promote a building, you don't promote a political party, you don't certainly promote yourself, you promote Jesus Christ. And Cleo, you don't know how freeing that is. Every day before I come out here, I read Psalm 50 and he says, glorify me, glorify me. Oh, that's all I got to do. All I got to do, Keith, is glorify Jesus. Get in this pulpit and glorify Jesus. So let me give you the definition again. John 3, verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. It is a suppression of self, a lessening of self, and a decrease of self, which is the opposite of our culture. Let me tell you something about the culture of America today. The culture of America is full of self. We're to shine as lights in the darkness of the culture. The culture of America is full of self. It's full of self. It is full of demands. All we hear is my body, my body, my body, my truth, my truth, my truth, my life matters, my body, my truth, you owe me, you owe me. That's all you're hearing. Well, it's time for us to stand up and say, hey, my life doesn't matter, but the life of Jesus Christ does. My name doesn't matter, but the name of Jesus Christ does. My truth doesn't matter, but the truth of God does. You know, we're having to deal with so much going on in the legislative plaza. Charles Barkley said it great last week when he said what happened to George Floyd was a terrible tragedy. And there was an opportunity for change, but now the whole thing's turned into a big circus. And it has. And I saw one of the young, I'm not going to say that, don't want to offend her. But on Legislative Plaza this week, a transgender, I don't know if she was going from a man to a woman or a woman to a man, and I'm not saying that derogatory, I don't know. But she said what they, and you know, the media is so much at fault in this. You take away the cameras, you take away the microphones, you'll take away the demonstrators. And you take away the $50 a day. And we found out a huge thing this week on where the money's being spent while we're having such a quiet primary. And I praise God we're having it. I prayed for that. That we would have a quiet, calm primary season, and so far we have, and hopefully it'll continue through to the general here in our local district. But anyway, the bottom line is, the young lady was being interviewed, and they said, why are you here? And I knew what I was preaching, and I had written down the first outline. She said, I'm here to give a voice to my truth. I want people to understand my truth. And that's our culture. Let me tell you something. You know what my truth is? My truth is I am a sinner. My truth is I have a carnal, fallen human nature. My truth is there is so much about me that is not right. I sure shouldn't force my truth on our culture or on our society. But my truth is I've got a Savior who loves me. I got a Savior who died for me because I'm a sinner that needs a Savior. And sometimes I feel like doing things that His Word says are wrong, but I recognize they're wrong. Sometimes I don't do them, but sometimes I do. And when I do, I have to say, God, You're right and I'm wrong. It's called confession, and that's the truth. Amen. It is His truth, not my truth. There's no such thing as my truth. See, we want to write our own rule book in this culture. So I must decrease and He must increase. And so that is how you let your light shine. It is all about Him. I want to close out with one of the most powerful passages of Scripture to me. It's the Scripture that got me saved. When I was probably 11, 12 years old. Matthew chapter 10. Or it really allowed me to take the step I needed to qualify my salvation in my own mind. And my preacher pretty much preached it every week. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. But this is how your light shines. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men. All right, that's your testimony. To confess, to acknowledge, that actually means to publicly acknowledge. confession, to publicly acknowledge. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Now, Lauren, when I was young, I heard that every Sunday during the invitation. And it was applied to baptism. And I was saved. But I thought, going forward, taking the preacher's hand and being baptized. But that scripture was a truth to me. And every time I baptized, and Lauren was one of the last ones I baptized, every time I baptize, I feel such a great peace that the person I'm baptizing with has got this verse completed. They are confessing publicly by water baptism that they are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the first step. And I want you to understand, from that point forward, you are to continue to publicly acknowledge your Christianity, your relationship with Jesus Christ, your indwelt Holy Spirit before men, before the society, and before the culture. I want you to understand how powerful this scripture is. The confessor will be confessed. Now, I was meditating on this, Sharon. My confession of Jesus was a wonderful thing. But it cannot be compared to the day He confesses me before the angels in heaven. Is that not something? Mona, you are going to be confessed by Jesus Himself before the angels of heaven. He's going to say in that heavenly assembly, before that great cloud of witnesses, here's Mona. Here's one of my children. She got saved, and He'll give the date and the time and the hour when His Holy Spirit, the confessor, is going to be confessed. Is that not a fabulous thought? We confess Him on earth, and where does He confess us? In heaven. Man, that makes life worth living. But I want you to understand, the denier is going to be denied. There are going to be folks where Jesus is going to have to say, depart from me, I never knew you. But didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do that in your name? No, you didn't have saving faith that was followed by the confession. So they're not going to enter in. But I want you to understand something. This is our time to confess the Lord. I want you to think back to another guy's time, named Peter. Peter said, Lord, they're going to have to kill me. I'm going to stand right here with you. They're going to have to kill me. He said, Peter, before that rooster crows tomorrow morning, you're going to deny me three times. And what did he do? He failed. He denied him three times. But then what did he do? He repented. He broke before the Lord, confessed and repented. And then what did he spend the rest of his life doing? Confessing Jesus Christ as a cornerstone apostle of the New Testament church. Now I'm going to be honest with you. There have been times we have failed to take a stand as Christians in our community and in America in the past. We need to look for opportunities now to make up for that. We need to take a stand every chance we get for the Lord and for the Lord's ways. In love, not condemning, not condescending. We need to be able to say, hey, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. We need to be able to say, hey, man, you know, I love you, I'll do anything in the world for you. But the Word of God says that you're not supposed to do this. It's not what I'm saying. I'm telling you what the Word says. I try to live my life within the parameters and under the authority of the Word. But I want you to know Jesus loves you. And all you got to do is turn to Him. He's got a plan for your life. He'll guide you. And whatever sin you've got in your life that you think is the major sin, you don't have to get that right and then come to Jesus. Just come to Jesus and He'll take care of things in His time, in your time, as things go forward. That's the truth of the gospel. People say, well, I can't come to church because I consider myself this or I consider myself that. That's a lie from the devil. Everybody can come to church. Everybody can come under the hearing of the Word of God. Everybody can come into a relationship with Jesus as long as they're willing to receive what He did on the cross and to commit the authority of their lives unto Him. It's like I prayed earlier, Keith. I'm still committing sins I was committing 30 years ago. I'm still thinking sins I've been thinking 30 years. I mean, the Lord doesn't expect me to jump up and scream at the TV and turn it to gun smoke five times during the news. I got to get myself under control. Marshall Dillon, there's a ruckus at the Long Branch. Chester, let me finish my breakfast. But Marshall, they've got guns. You know, I never figured, I don't know why Chester didn't wear a gun. Did he not pass the carry permit test? I mean, I did that one for you, Tim. I mean, did he not? They always had to give Chester. Matt gave him a gun. I feel Barney Fife and Chester, same deal. Barney didn't have a bullet. Chester didn't have a gun. Goodness. I'm figuring this stuff out, Betty. But that's what it means. I am, you know, folks say, Brother Leo, why don't you just give it a break? I cannot deny my Lord. And you can't either. When you meditate upon not only the fact He saved you, you look in the faces of children and grandchildren and loved ones and friends and family and all the wonderful love He's brought into your life. I am not going to deny my Lord. And we are called to let our lamp shine. And that speaks to our testimony and our witness. And it's personal. You know, you might say, Brother Leo, I don't know all that you know. No, but I can't give your testimony. I can't give out as effectively as you can what God has done in your life. I can only tell you what God's done in mine. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for a few moments, and would you pray that prayer with me? Lord, let my light so shine before men that they will see the way I think and the way I act, that they will hear the words I speak, and they'll glorify you, Jesus. Father, let me help somebody see you, Jesus. Let me help somebody turn to you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you that you have called us to be salt and light for our world. Lord, you're not giving up on us, and we're not giving up on America. Father, let us as a nation repent and turn to you. And in so doing, let us love one another and support one another. And Father, I say what Christians all over the world say all the time. Lord, I just want everybody to be blessed. And everybody to know peace. And everybody to know the love of a loving Savior. And a life where we know what's real and what really matters.